Well, greetings, everyone, and welcome to the Law Hour Editorial Review. The Law Hour is sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. I'm your narrator, George Gordon. The Law Hour and Editorial Review is heard nationally and internationally 7 days a week in more than 112 countries worldwide over the Internet. Now, for more information about the Law Hour and Editorial Review, please visit our webpage. That's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law Hour and Editorial Review brings you important information about law, science, education, politics, religion, health, history, economics, news, and current events. So stay tuned for tonight's special report on Here's the Bad News when we come back. Now, let me ask you this. What do you think's wrong with the Ten Commandments? Because it's pretty obvious that something is wrong with the Ten Commandments because they've been banned from our public schools, they're banned from our public institutions, and they're banned from our national consciousness. Now, instead of these 10 simple, time-tested laws, we see the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto in their place. And they're now teaching these 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto to your children in our schools, our public institutions, and we've made them a part of our national consciousness. Now, you know, this is a pretty radical change in our political and moral outlook over the past 50 years, don't you think? Are you aware, for instance, your daughter couldn't receive an aspirin in your public school without your consent, but your daughter can have an abortion? That's right, she can have an abortion arranged through that same public school nurse without even your knowledge, much less your consent. That's why I contend that the solution to this moral perversion and national insanity is to go back to what worked. Let's go back to the Ten Commandments and the Mosaic Law. You know, our founding fathers practiced and advocated the Ten Commandments. They even put 22 principles of that law into our federal constitution. And there's still at least one school left in America that teaches this entire Mosaic Law, the Ten Commandments, and all 759 statutes, judgments, and commandments, as well as the benefits. Now, every law has a penalty. You know, you don't have to know what that penalty is to suffer from its effects. So whether you call that the Mosaic Law, the Law of God, the Common Law, Natural Law, Karma, or something else, you know, it's automatic. It works just like AIDS, herpes, and VD, which just happens to be the natural penalty for adultery. Now, if you'd like more information, why don't you call and order our free general law CD package? That's the place to start. It's a four-hour commentary on the law in general, and it's educational, it's informative, it's entertaining. Best of all, it's free. It doesn't cost you anything. You can just call right now and order one. The number to call, 417-273-4967. Once more, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, if you're online, you can go to our website, georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. Just click onto the email machine when you get there and send us an email request for that free general law CD package. Once more, that's georgegordon.org, or call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we've been talking about some bad news. Bad news from the newsletters. I cited three or four newsletters here. I think David Vaughn, Robert Chapman, and Bill Buckler. Took those three. I didn't cover other newsletters. I could. Other newsletter writers are telling us the same story. What we're not getting is we're not getting any of this story from the mainstream press, which is understandable. After all, the mainstream press is owned by the very instigators of the problem to start with. Why in the hell would they want to tell us what they're up to? So as a result of that, I thought, well, let me spill the beans. I'll tell you what the Royal Bank of Scotland had to say. But listen, after we got through with the Bank for International Settlements and the Royal Bank of Scotland and Morgan Stanley and the privateer and so on, the bottom line to this is why is all this happening and why is it happening now? You ever think about that? Hey, how come we got all these floods going on in the Midwest? The big grain storage silos over here, you know, we put all of our eggs into one basket. It used to be in America, we had grain storage silos everywhere, just little guys, you know, just four or five silos at a railroad crossing, you know, someplace out in North Dakota, and thousands of them. Hell, when there was a flood in the Mississippi River, who cared? But over time, all of these grain facilities have been centralized. This is what central top-down planning does. This is what the 10 planks to the Communist Manifesto do. See, they took a look at thousands and thousands and thousands, tens of thousands of grain storage silos scattered all over America and said, well, that's not the way to create a monopoly. What you got to do is to get all that grain locked into Topeka, Kansas. Get all that grain locked up here, you know, on the Mississippi River where we've got barges to barge it up and down the river so that we can transport it as cheaply as possible. And they did. And they concentrated all of this grain storage capacity along the banks of the Mississippi River below the last high water mark so that they could ship it inexpensively, cheaply, up and down the river, and then came a big flood and wrecked it all. Which, you know, doesn't happen in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but it happens in the real world. Hey, that river's been flooding for hundreds of thousands of years. And, of course, the people that are in control of our grain aren't farmers. Those are PhDs and people that go to Harvard Business School, and they've got lots of smarts. They've been to school. They've got lots of book smarts, but they don't have any common sense. And so we're in a jam. So I pointed out to you the last time, I said, there's a God in heaven, and this God has some prophecy in the Bible. In fact, he's got some promises in the Bible. And he absolutely promises us that he's going to kick our ass two ways to Sunday, right here in the United States of America, Canada, and Australia. So if you want to know where this is coming from, let me tell you, it's from the creator of the universe, the guy you never heard of on Mr. Rogers, because he's been banned. That's politically incorrect. But I'm politically incorrect anyway, so I don't have to make an apology for him. I'm just here to report. I'm a reporter. So I wanted to report to you what's coming down the pike. That's in Revelation chapter 9. It's an odd book in the Bible. Nobody reads it. Nobody understands it. But it's a book about war. It's a book about 21st century America and the world that we're living in. It's bad news. There isn't any good news in the book of Revelation. If there's any good news in here, you write and tell me about it, would you? I mean, this is where the old man says, you know, I told you. Now, you didn't pay attention to me, so watch what I'm going to do to you now. Now, I remember when I was a kid, my dad used to whip me every once in a while. He wasn't too excessive. I can probably remember, you know, 6, 8, 10 good whippings that I got. Every one of them I deserved. Hell, there was probably another 10 that I deserved and never got. And I got away with it. But my daddy told me one time, he said, now, son, and I remember this very vividly. He said, I was just crying my eyeballs out. I mean, he hurt me bad. And then I think he knew he hurt me pretty bad, and I think he was kind of feeling bad about having maybe gone just a little bit too far. Maybe he didn't, but I wanted to cry real hard, big crocodile tears, and make him feel real bad about how bad he made me feel. So I just wanted to tell you that he didn't hurt me near as bad as I wanted to make him think that he hurt me. And so he said this to me. He said, son, I want you to understand, just know I don't hate you, and I'm not angry with you. But he said, you have to be corrected. Your conduct is totally unacceptable. Your conduct is unacceptable. Boys and girls, that's all that's going on here on planet Earth. Our God, our Creator, He doesn't hate us. He just sent us a signal. Our conduct is just totally unacceptable. Now, you people down there in New Orleans, your conduct down there was so unacceptable, He sent you a wake-up call. It was called Hurricane Katrina. And all you people up and down the Gulf Coast, you know, rebuilding your houses today, pay attention now to what happened to you, because it's going to happen again. Well, it's going to happen again unless you wake up. Now, if you don't do those things that you were doing for which you got Hurricane Katrina, that won't happen to you again. But my dad, you know, he explained it to me, and I understood it. Said, I don't hate you, but, you know, your conduct is unacceptable. And every time your conduct gets to be this unacceptable, this is the consequence that you can expect for it over and over and over and over again until you quit doing it. And it took more than one weapon. I didn't learn from one weapon or two or five. You know, it took a series of those weapons over different issues at different times. And I'm glad that he did that because, you know, if he hadn't whipped me, if he hadn't brought my conduct under control, you know, then I would be a criminal. Well, an even worse criminal than I already am. So, now, to bring you into perspective, I've been giving you bad news this week. Now, you know, we'd be remiss if we didn't have a solution to the problem. You got to come up to a solution. I mean, look, you know, at some point in time, the solution to this is quit giving the old man the finger. I used an analogy. I said, you know, you're in a bar and you're having a few drinks, having a good time. And in every bar, there's some big dude in there, you know, some big, mean, nasty-looking guy with an earring and tattoos all over him. That's not the guy you want to walk up to and give the finger to. You want to find some little four-eyed flink over here, you know, that's drunk already and probably doesn't know who in the hell you are, where you're from. You mean you can probably give him the finger and get away with it. But this God over here that I'm telling you about, this is not the guy that we want to be giving the finger to, and that's what's been going on here. And as a nation, we're getting punished. We're taking it in the shorts. And it's going to affect a lot of people. It's going to affect one-third of all the people in the world. One-third of all you people in the world are going to die over this. That's one out of three. And that's in addition to that gang in Revelation 6, where we're already talking about one out of four dying. So, I mean, you know, you got one out of four dying, that comes down four times, and then you got some survivors. And then you take one-third of those survivors, and that's another bunch. So let me tell you the story over here. It's in Revelation chapter 9. I thought I'd point this out. Remember I said that there's this huge army. This is Armageddon army. This is the chapter about Armageddon. This is the chapter that talks about those 200 million, 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem. Boys and girls, this does not bode well for you living in Palestine or, you know, you people living in the West Bank, you people living in Jerusalem. I mean, you Palestinians over there, pay attention now. Do you think a 200 million man Chinese army 35 miles northwest of Jerusalem duking it out is a place where you want to be? Well, I just thought I'd point that out to you. Now, a lot of times people say, well, that isn't coming in our lifetimes. Well, who in the hell's lifetime is this coming in? It's coming in somebody's lifetime. Now, if you were to ask me, I'd just assume it happened in somebody else's lifetime. I'm not looking forward to this. I'm just very grateful that I'm 12,500 miles away from downtown Jerusalem. I'm just about as far away from that battle as I can get. And if I could get 10 miles further away, I'd do it. If I could get 10 miles further away from Megiddo, that's where I'd be today. Now, I've been pointing out to you this week, you know, that there are events shaping the world that are way beyond anything that you and I are going to have any effect on, but they're going to affect us. When George Bush sitting over there in the White House, you know, in the Oval Office with his finger on that red button over there, that affects all of us. It affects you people in downtown Tehran. It affects you people in downtown Seoul, South Korea. You know, when that guy pushes that button over there, the world is going to change dramatically, very dramatically. And it's going to affect all of us. Some of us it's going to kill. Some of us would like to survive this thing and see or witness the second coming. I'm one of those. I'd like to be alive when the second coming occurs so that I can, you know, it's kind of like living through Noah's flood. I'd like to be one of the guys that walks off the boat. Now, there's going to be more people that are going to see the second coming than walk off that boat. But, you know, just to give you a little analogy, you know, there's always some survivors. There were survivors off the Titanic. Not as many as the victims, but, you know, there were survivors. And there will be survivors from this. There will be people living in New York City that are going to survive all of this. But your chances of surviving this in New York City ain't near as good as my chances in Isabella, Missouri. And that doesn't mean that I'm going to survive it, because I may die from some other cause. But I just wanted to point out, you know, in the insurance industry, you know, we work on what we call percentages. And we know that everybody's going to die, but we still sell life insurance. We just try to sell less life insurance to people that are age 85 and sell more life insurance to people that are age 25. And that's because we know that once you get to be 85 years old, your chances of dying are greater than at age 25. Not to say that people age 25 aren't going to die. All right, now, listen to this story here. The fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. All right, now that star is an angel. And the Bible uses these euphemisms. The Bible is written in code, and it needs to be code planned out. I'll just go along as we're progressing, and I'll just tell you some of these words here that I've already code planned out. That star is probably Michael the Archangel. And he, notice it's whatever the star is a he. And Michael is always referred to in the masculine sense. He opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of the pit as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. Well, I think that smoke of the pit is nuclear bomb war, and it's mentioned in the Bible about 5 or 6 times. And we have 27 locations here on planet Earth where nuclear weapons have been used prior to 1945. I reported on that. That's another story for another day, but just want to let you know that nuclear weapons have been around here for thousands of years, long, long before the Roman Empire we had nuclear weapons. And more than likely, before the flood, we had nuclear weapons, and certainly shortly after the flood, we had nuclear weapons, at least 27 of them that we know of. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth, and unto them was given power as the scorpions of the earth have power. If you code plead this out in Nahum 3:16 and 17, we're talking about these locusts or soldiers. This is a military operation. Verse 4, it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And so this verse 4 gives rise to this concept, erroneous I think, but concept, of the rapture. It is true there's a number of people that will be sealed by God and protected through this great tribulation. Not that you're going to be saved out of the great tribulation, but you're going to be saved through it. So I would suggest, you know, and I've been doing this for years, that you get prepared for this great tribulation, which goes for 1,260 days. That's 3.5 years. That's why I tell my students, I think you need a 4-year supply of food. Or at least you need the means to produce it. You need seed and you need, you know, some stocks, you know, there in your pantry someplace. I know people laugh and they write me letters and they say, you know, you're really out in left field. Well, okay. So was Noah. He was way out in left field. But he was the only guy left on the field when it was all said and done. So tuck that one away and smoke that in your pipe, Bob. When this thing finally comes to fruition, only 1 person in 10 drawing breath on planet Earth today will be left standing on the field. 1 in 10. Well, according to this guy. Now, again, I'm not here to speak to the veracity of the scripture. I'm just here to make the report. Now, you can take it for what it's worth. You can reject it. You can light it and smoke it or do whatever the hell you want with it. I'm just here to tell you that when we're talking about soldiers, this is not going to save you out of the great tribulation. If you think that you're going to be raptured off, you know, dream on. You might do well to have a backup plan. You know, plan A, plan B, plan C. Plan A being the rapture. That's a good one. I love it. I cannot think of a better plan than the rapture. But just in case you don't have, or you haven't been sealed in your forehead and you're not going to be one of them raptured off guys, maybe you ought to be thinking about plan B. Plan B, Bob. And include Sally, because, you know, maybe she'd like to go along with you. Here in verse 5, and to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months. And their torment was as the torment of a scorpion when he strikes a man. 5 months. Nuclear bomb war, 5 months. Fallout, burns, radiation burns, 5 months. All right. And in those days shall men seek death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. That's what happens with radiation sickness and radiation burns. That's what's being described here. Now, boys and girls, there's only 9 members in the nuclear club. 9. North Korea and Iran are not 2 of them. Now, the Israelis have nuclear weapons. The Americans, French, English, Chinese, and Russians, we all have nuclear weapons. Pakistanis joined the club along with the Indians here a little later in the 1960s or 70s. These guys are going to start using these nuclear weapons. And it's going to kill one-third of the people on planet Earth. And that's what we saw back in, I think it was Ezekiel, about chapter 5. Remember when he took those hairs? He had to shave and he took his hairs and divided them into three patches over here. All right. And the shapes of the locusts were like unto the horses prepared into battle, and on their heads, whereas it were crowns like gold, and their faces were as the faces of men. And they had hair as the hair of women, their teeth were as the teeth of lions, and they had breastplates as it were breastplates of iron, and the sound of their wings was as the sound of chariots of many horses running to battle. And they had tails like unto scorpions, and there were stings in their tails, and their power was to hurt men 5 months. All right, now hang on here a second. This guy, when he's writing this book, this is John, he's writing this book about the year 90 A.D., and he was taken up in a vision. He's writing down this vision that he sees. Now, actually, what the wording is here, he's not writing that. But he's writing this in language of his day for people that are going to be living in the 1st, 2nd, 9th, 15th, 18th, and 20th, and 21st centuries. And what he's describing here is what he saw. And what he saw here were Apache attack helicopters with their sting in their tail, using nuclear weapons, lasers, all kinds of advanced technological warfare weapons. And he's describing that here in language that he was used to using back in the first century. Now today, we can actually see this. You know, we watch this every night on television, don't we? You know, you watch these war movies, you know, and you watch these really spectacular weapons of war that are actually described here in the book of Revelation. And they had a king over them, which is the angel of the bottomless pit. This is Satan who's directing this operation. This is Satan directing George Bush, Dick Cheney, you know, Putin. The governments of this world are all the governments that belong to Satan the devil. This isn't the government of God. Remember, he's out here in heaven. He's out here on the 15th green. And I think he's chipping for an eagle right now. But he said he's coming back. And when he comes back, he's going to find the world in great disarray. And as a result of that, he's going to come back. He said in Matthew 24 now, he said, no flesh would be saved alive on the planet if I don't come back and stop this madness. He goes on a step further over here, and he says, one woe is past, and behold, here come two woes more hereafter. So we got three woes here. You got some bad news coming up. You've got some war coming. Now, boys and girls, when war comes, you know, things get sticky. You get rationing. You get martial law. You get concentration camps. You get a military draft. You get economic dislocations and shortages. You get famine and starvation. There's all kinds of mean, wicked, terrible, awful, evil things that come from war that most of our generation here in America, Canada, and Australia haven't seen because we've been paying attention to Mr. Rogers, Big Bird, Bert and Ernie. And, of course, here in Sesame Street, in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, none of these things ever happen. And the people in the world today can't face this reality. This is what's about to transpire, what's coming down upon the world. In my lifetime, just 70 years, I'm here to tell you I haven't seen anything like this. I haven't seen it, haven't heard it. Now, let me tell you, it's just as scary to me as it ought to be to you and anybody else. I remember some of the big generals, you know, like George Patton. He said, you know, any man that says that he's not afraid when he goes into combat is either a liar or a fool. Yeah, I can hear that. I think I just didn't stay out of combat. Now that I heard that right out of a general's mouth, I said, you know, that doesn't sound like a very good place for me to be. I think war is something I want to avoid, so I'm going to get as far away from that as I can get. In fact, I read here in the Bible and I find out that war is a curse. This isn't something, you know, that's to be looked up to and emulated. This is something you want to get as far away from as you can get. It's kind of like sin. It's kind of like Flo's whorehouse, you know. It looks like a lot of fun down at Flo's, but, you know, wait until you get a dose of syphilis and you'll find out how much fun it is. Now, the sixth angel sounded. This is verse 13. I heard a voice from the four horns of the golden altar, which is before God, saying to the sixth angel, which had the trumpet, loose the four angels, which are bound in the great river Euphrates. Boys and girls, do you know where the Euphrates River is? It's in Iraq. Do you know where the American army is? It's in Iraq. Do you know where this war is coming from? Iraq. Now, there's some big battles that are going to take place over there. I suspect there's going to be some battles in Iran. But we're coming up to this big battle. This is the greatest climactic battle in the history of the world, which is being described here in Revelation chapter 9. And these four angels, now we're on the river Euphrates, were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. When this counterattack occurs, there's a battle, then there's a counterattack. I suspect that's Russia and China coming into the fray over this Iran deal. That's what I think that says right there. So in case you want to tell your wife tonight over dinner, that's Revelation 9:15. I think that's right there. I think George Bush has got his thumb right there on the red button. I think he's going to push it. Now, I pointed out to you in the last couple of programs, the United States has only one option left, one card left to play. It's the military card. One card. You know, we are the world's preeminent nuclear superpower. We are the dominant world empire. It's the United States of America. We have military forces and bases in 147 countries. Hell, there's only 191 in the world. We got military, there's American forces in 147. You talk about a world ruling empire, we're it. And if you want to know why it is that the Saudis and Chinese and Russians and everybody else accept American dollars and we're trading oil in American dollars, I told you, it's because of the American nuclear card. The Saudis take U.S. dollars for oil because they don't dare. But now the Iranians dared. They've just given the finger to the meanest, nastiest, dirtiest, drunkenest slob in the bar, George Bush. And do you think George Bush is going to back down? I don't believe it. I don't believe it. Now, I hope he does. I hope you Iranians over there back down. I hope George Bush backs down. Because we're facing a confrontation here of biblical proportions, children. Now, if it doesn't come this year, it'll come next year. If it doesn't come next year, it'll be in the next 5 years. If it doesn't come in the next 5 years, it'll be in the next 50. Hell, it's going to come in somebody's lifetime. I guess I just seen it happen in somebody else's lifetime. Although I've said many times, you know, God, what a show. You know, Noah and his children, his family, his immediate family, they had one hell of a show. It destroyed the world. It destroyed everybody in it except those eight guys. When it was all said and done, they're the last eight players on the field. When this deal is done and the Messiah returns, there's going to be some survivors. About 600 million of us are going to survive it. I say us. I don't know that I'm going to survive it, but I have high hopes, and I'm working hard on it, which is why I thought I'd make this report. Hey, kids, wake up to what's going on over here. The nuclear option is on the table, and it doesn't have anything to do with nuclear weapons in Iran. It has to do with gold. 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 That's what it has to do with. It has to do with money. Hey, let me give you a report here. Let me give you a reminder here that you're listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabel, Missouri. Now, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in 112 countries daily over the Internet and radio. Now, for more information about the law school and The Law Hour, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. That's georgegordon.org. Now, the law school teaches family law, tax law, courtroom strategy and procedure, business law, agricultural law, civil rights, and biblical law from the scriptural perspective. That's eight schools in all. The law school is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school. It is open to individuals, but by prearrangement. The law school conducts a homeschooling program for adults on compact disc, and the Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has a radio log schedule and archives that can be accessed through the website as well at georgegordon.org. All of these Law Hour programs are archived on the Internet by title and date for your listening convenience, and the Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. Now, the law school offers a free 4-hour introductory CD package. Be sure to order yours by calling the law school at 417-273-4967. Again, that's area code 417-273-4967. Now, the sources of information that we use on this program are true, accurate, and correct to the best of our knowledge and belief, and the Law Hour and editorial review does give credit to those authors and publications that we use on this program, and we often endorse and recommend books, papers, periodicals, and newsletters to our listeners. These endorsements or recommendations that we give don't mean that those authors or publications that we endorse are necessarily going to reciprocate. Keep in mind that most of these authors and publications that we cite here on the Law Hour, they may be hostile, political, religious, economic, sectarian, racial, or ethnic partisans whose viewpoint may not be totally endorsed by the Law Hour and editorial review. Now, these opinions, beliefs, comments, views, and expressions that you hear on this program are mine. They're mine alone. They don't necessarily represent the views, beliefs, and opinions of the advertiser, sponsors, management, or the staff of this radio network or this local radio station. So if you'd like more information about the Law Hour and editorial review, please go to our website at georgegordon.org. Again, that's georgegordon.org, or you can call us direct at 417-273-4967. All right, we're talking about the bad news here. So I've been giving you the bad news from the newsletters. Now I'm to give you the bad news from Revelation 9, because at some point in time, now I'm not a prophet, so don't rely on me now and say, well, George Gordon, the prophet, said, I don't have any communication with God. He doesn't come down here and talk to me. All I know is what I see here in the scripture, just like you and everybody else. I did take a little time, though, to code plead this out. This is a law book. Needs to be code pleaded out. And I have an entire book here on the law of Moses, the Mosaic law. We've code pleaded that out here at the law school. I can show you what this thing's talking about. And what this Revelation 9 is talking about is nuclear bomb war. Now, there's a group of people. It doesn't identify with specificity the players in the game. So just looking around the world in geopolitics, I say, well, who are the potential players? Well, I can eliminate Iceland. Hell, you people in Iceland, you're not even in the game. No, those aren't the people being talked about here in Revelation 9. You Jews over in the Middle East, you're bit part players. You're the people that are going to stir up all the hate and discontent and cause this. And so you Jews over there have your role to play, but you're a bit part player. The big players in this game are the United States of America and the Western NATO allies on one side, and Russia and China on the other side, probably allied with a number of other players such as Japan and India. And you Australians, you get a little bit part play, and you get to get rolled over by the Chinese. They're going to eat your lunch. They're going to eat you people up so fast, you won't know what happened to you. 20 million Australians down there, and you're going to defend yourselves against 1.3 billion slant-eyed chinks from China. And I got news for you people down there. That isn't even going to be a fight. But there is a fight coming. There's a big fight coming. In fact, described here in the Bible, this is the military battle of all military battles. As you Muslims like to call it, this is the mother of all battles. And you Muslims are going to be right in the middle of it. Let me tell you, if there's any of you Muslims out there that still have your head screwed on straight, you want to get as far away from downtown Jerusalem as you can get, I'd get on the next Orient Express, go on any place. Any place. And you don't want to be here. Well, let me tell you about how bad it's going to be. These four angels here, this verse 15, now the four angels were loosed, which were prepared for an hour and a day and a month and a year for to slay the third part of men. And the number of the army of the horsemen were 200,000,000, and I heard the number of them. All right, now there's the number, 200,000,000, that's 200 million. And thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat on them having breastplates of fire, and of jacinth and brimstone, and the heads of the horses were as the heads of the lions, and out of their mouths issued fire and smoke and brimstone. Fire, smoke, and brimstone. Boys and girls, that's nuclear exchange. Brimstone. See, that's synonymous with Sodom and Gomorrah. Just burned to a crisp. That's what a nuclear bomb does. Just burns everything to a crisp. How many of these nuclear weapons? I don't know. How many countries involved? I don't know. Main players in the game, United States of America and the NATO Western allies. Against Russia, China, and a host of others. This is going to be, as you Muslims like the word, the mother of all battles. And you're going to be right in the thick of it. And you Jews over there, you're kind of bit part actors over there. God, if I had my druthers, I think I'd be looking for new quarters. Maybe a vacation in Hawaii would be good for you. Although when this thing comes down now, you people out there in Hawaii, and I had a Hawaiian tell me one time, he said, there will be no white men left alive in Hawaii, the Hawaiian Islands. No white men left alive. He said, the Japs are going to get you first, and anyone that the Japs miss, you can rest assured the Hawaiians won't. So if you're a white man in Hawaii, I think I'd be booking passage for California. Well, unless things start straightening out, because from where I'm sitting here, every newsletter I pick up reports worse problems. There's a bigger meltdown in the economy. And rest assured, boys and girls, that this whole problem stems from economic causes. It's money. It's money. It's money. Always remember, it's money. And that's where the Iranians got crosswise with the United States. Now, I don't blame you. I understand your Iranians' frustration, and I understand all the rest of you Muslims sitting out there taking our worthless money, and you ain't getting paid for your oil, and I got news for you. You ain't never going to get paid for it, past, present, or future. No, I'm going to avoid using the term, you got a mad lunatic in the White House, because that guy is not a mad lunatic sitting in the White House. That guy is in perfect control of his faculties. The guy is wicked and evil, along with his co-partner there, Dick Cheney. Those guys are wicked and evil, and the wickedness and the evil that's about to be unleashed upon the earth is going to just scare the living bejesus out of all of us. Now, I'm an old man, and that's probably about time for me to die, but, you know, a lot of you people out there are young yet. Now, I can remember when I was 25, 30, 35 years old, you know, you've got your lives ahead of you. Now, you want to avoid as much of this as is possible. If you think war is glorious, go join the Army. Go join the Marines so you can get right up in the front lines. Now, for the rest of you that aren't brain dead, you want to remember, one-third of all of the people left on planet Earth after Revelation 6, I'm in Revelation 9, then you've already lost one-fourth of all the people in the world to famine and starvation. I just gave you yesterday the worst news that you could have heard. You lost your seed crop. That's a catastrophe that's just waiting to unfold next year. Now, you know, this thing doesn't unfold in 60, 90 days, you know. It doesn't unfold in a week or 10 days, or between the time you put your order in and you drive up to the takeout window. International geopolitics and economics play out over years and years and decades and sometimes even centuries. But boys and girls, this thing's been playing out for a long time. It started in 1884 with the protocols. By God, we're getting to the point now, you know, where we're getting down to where the rubber meets the road. Now listen to some more of this. Verse 17, he said, and thus I saw the horses in the vision, and them that sat upon them. These guys aren't riding horses, they're riding Humvees. You don't have fire coming out of their mouths, you've got nuclear weapons going on. You haven't got stings in the tails of scorpions, you've got Apache attack helicopters firing rockets, and laser weapons, and nuclear weapons going off here. That's what's being described. Hell, we see it every night here, you know, on the news. We're watching this all the time on TV. We've become jaded to it, but in case you didn't know, that's what this story is all about. And they have breastplates of fire and smoke and brimstone. And by these three was the third part of men killed by the fire and by the smoke and by the brimstone which issued out of their mouths, which is exactly what Ezekiel told us in Ezekiel 5, one-third. Now, that's going to take about one-third of the population of the world. Now, boys and girls, there's about 6.5 billion people in the world. Now, you kill 2 billion people in 5 months. By God, you tell me that's not biblical proportions. No, huh? And you got these Iranians over here threw the gauntlet down and said, hey, what are you going to do about that? We're bankrupt over here in the United States. That's why we're not paying you people. And we just haven't owned up to reality yet. We're still making payments. But the only reason we're making payments is because we're printing up the 3x5 cards and sending them to you. And everybody in the world sitting over here, you know, smiling, smiling at the Americans. And that's because you're terrified to do anything else. And that's what the bottom line is. Y'all hate us. You're all smiling at us, and y'all hate our guts. And I can understand it. But do you understand now that when you throw the gauntlet down over there in Iran to George Bush sitting in the White House, and you tell him, what are you going to do about that? Didn't you see what he did in Iraq? Saddam Hussein shifted the sale of Iraqi oil from dollars to euros. And our response was, we took him out. Now you Iranians have done the same thing, only you added something to it, a little insult to the injury. Now you converted your dollars into gold, and now you've gone out and told everybody else in the world, look what we did. We tweaked George Bush's nose, and what's he going to do about it? Well, if you've never been in a bar room before, you just watch what happens when some loudmouth goes up and tweaks the nose of the big bad bully sitting at the bar and throws a glass of beer in his face. Then you watch what happens. That's when all the rest of us timid folk want to be heading for the exits. When I see that glass of beer in this guy's hand and an argument going on, I say, well, time for us to get the hell out of here. Let's head for the exits while we can still get out. And that's what I'm suggesting. If you think this barroom brawl is going to be a lot of fun, you know, okay, sidle up to the bar. Get right up there to where the action's at, all you young fellas. You want to get out there and join the Marines, get with it. Want to make the world safe for democracy in Iran, do you? want to spread democracy to Afghanistan, Pakistan, and India? Get after it. Now, verse 19 says, their power is in their mouth and in their tails. For their tails were like unto serpents, and had heads, and with them they do hurt. And the rest of the men, which were not killed by these plagues, yet repented not of their works of their hands, and that they should not worship devils and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. That's political process. You know, you people want to vote for Barack Obama and John, you know, you don't want to repent now. I'm not here to get you to give you an altar call, get you to repent. So that's not my point. But when you see this come down, and you're sitting there saying, oh my God, I can't understand why this is coming down. It's because of your actions. It's because you worship the United States of America and the NATO alliance. It's because of your politics. That's why this is coming down on you. Now you want to get out there and vote, you know, get after it. And I think I'll stay home on election day. Keeping in mind that this God is not a Democrat, and he's not running for office, and he doesn't need your vote. But then you don't need to be sticking your finger in this God's face and giving him the finger and saying, well, what in the hell are you going to do about that? Because this guy is going to do something about it. Now, he's been telling us now for a couple thousand years, you know, you people are just pushing me and pushing me and pushing me. And there's a day of reckoning coming. And I used to do that with my granddad. My granddad, he wasn't quite like my daddy. He was more patient. But my granddaddy would come unhinged once in a while. And during World War II, I was raised, you know, by my grandparents. And my dad was off fighting the war to make the world safe for democracy. Remember back in World War II, the big one, WW2, as Archie Bunker used to say. And my granddad, I'd push him. See, I'd push him and push him. He had a lot more patience. And you know, you're 5, 6, 7 years old, you know, and you're pushing the old man trying to find out where the limits are, you know. Well, my granddad had long, long patience, and he'd put that, and he'd correct me, and he'd talk and talk and talk. And then one day, he'd just reach out, grab you, shake you till your teeth rattle, slap you up alongside the head. He never did whip off his belt. I just a little tyke then, you know. He'd just use his hand on me, you know, and just paddle my behind. God, crocodile tears would flow. Now, you know, there comes a time when there's a result that comes from your actions. And the results are about to come from our actions. Now, you saw it in New Orleans. You didn't learn anything. You saw it on the Gulf Coast. Couldn't learn anything. You people out in the West, you got the worst drought in the last 10 years. You can't connect the dots. Now you got floodwaters up here in the Midwest. We had them in 93. It said once in a century. Now you got them again. It isn't once in a century. It's your God punishing you. That's what the answer to the riddle is. It's politically incorrect. And you don't want to hear it. So I said, I'll tell you anyway. And it's this God. It's not your God. I mean, your God's a nice, kind, gentle fellow. This God is not nice. He's not kind. He's not gentle. He ain't taking any more crap. He's had it. And now the rubber's meeting the road, and it's getting real nasty. But we ain't seen nothing yet. These floods up here is a pimple on the elephant's trunk. It's like it reminds me of a flea crawling up an elephant's leg with rape on his mind. You ain't seen nothing yet. And so I thought, you know, with the Royal Bank of Scotland telling you that the stock markets are about to collapse, when these stock markets collapse, it's the inevitable result of fiat paper currency and the bankers running your economic system. Now, you rejected bottom-up Ten Commandment economics. And you adopted top-down 10 plank to the Communist Manifesto economics. And there's a result that comes from that. And it's the collapse of your economy. The collapse of economies has a result. It's called war. It's always been that way in the past. Doesn't seem like it's going to change anything in the future. Every report that I've reported about to you in this series points to god-awful consequences now from you Iranians over there giving George Bush the finger and throwing down the gauntlet. All right, George Bush has got it right in his face. What's he going to do? And boys and girls, we don't in this country, America, we don't have any other option. You've got us, you people out there in the world, you've got us Americans backed into the corner. And you're telling us that we ain't coming out alive. I'm telling you, that ain't going to work. Or as our former president used to say, that's not going to stand. That's George Bush. That was wimpy. George Bush 1. Remember him? You ought to remember that George Bush number 1 is an Illuminist, and he's a Satanist, and he is a member of Skull and Bones, and his boy George Jr. is also a member of Skull and Bones. This is the most wicked, evil organization on planet Earth. If you've got a more wicked, evil, rotten organization than Skull and Bones, tell me about it, would you? These guys are satanic Satan worshippers. And the guy's sitting in the Oval Office with his finger on the red button. And you're sitting over here saying, well, I'll vote for Barack Obama. Oh, for crying out loud. Verse 21, neither repented they of their murders, nor of their sorceries, nor of their fornication, nor of their thefts. You know where you're stealing, boys and girls, is with your credit cards and Federal Reserve notes. You won't use just weights and balances. You know, like we were told. You want to play sorcerer, you want to play with sorcery, you want to play with drugs. The average American citizen, 65 years old or older in the United States of America, is on 6 prescription drugs worth practicing sorcery here. I don't see any indication that the seniors of America are going to repent from their sorcery, or that the rest of us are going to repent from our fiat paper currency, or that we're going to repent from the worship of our devils, our idols, or of our gold and silver, brass and stone and wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk. Your Capitol building, your Statue of Liberty, your idols in America can't see, can't hear, can't talk, can't walk. They're false idols, false gods. We worship them like they were our brothers. All right, so now I thought I'd tell you. Now I'm an old man. And I've seen nothing like this in my lifetime. So if you're 25, 30, 35 years old, you ain't seen nothing like this either. In fact, you've been raised on Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, and you haven't seen anything bad, wicked, terrible, awful, or evil happen. It doesn't happen in Mr. Rogers' neighborhood, but I'm here to tell you that you're sitting on the cusp of one of the most evil, rotten, wicked comeuppance that the world has ever seen. In fact, if I can find it here, it's in Matthew chapter 24, the Messiah had a little something to say about this, because his disciples came up to him one day and said, hey, boss, tell us what's coming here. Tell us about the end of the world. And so he did. And so Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, when you code plead them out, fit in with Revelation 6, 9, 11, 12, 18, 17, 18. And the Bible is written in code, and it's written in code so that you can't understand it. So for you religious people out there, you know that know Jesus, they knock on my door, do you know Jesus? I tell them, no, does he live here in the neighborhood? They're like, are you saved, brother? You want to know if I've been saved? Hell, I didn't even know that I was in trouble. If I was in the river and crying for help, I'd expect you to throw me a rope. Are you saved, brother? You're yelling out to me from the shore. Hell no, throw me a rope and hang on to one end, would you, dummy? Anyway, here's Matthew 24. Except those days, verse 22, he says, except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. No flesh saved. If that ain't biblical proportions, kid, I don't know what is. That's none. Now we're talking about nuclear bomb war. And we've got this man in the White House with his finger on the weapons of mass destruction that ordered the destruction of the trade towers so he could have an excuse to go into Afghanistan to reestablish the drug trade. That's about as wicked and evil as you can get. Send me a letter and describe Genghis Khan, Adolf Hitler, Joe Stalin. Tell me how wicked and evil that is, huh? All right, so I thought I'd share that with you and I'd point out to you that we got some big bad problems coming and we need some solutions. Now, when this comes down and you're sitting here saying, gee, I can't figure out what's going on over here, consider, would you stop giving your God the finger? And would you consider going back to the Ten Commandments and practicing bottom-up government instead of this top-down crap from the Communist Manifesto? I mean, that's a wild new thought for most of you Mr. Rogers kids out there. But, you know, at this juncture of time, you don't need to make that change because, you know, there hasn't been enough pressure put on you yet. But, you know, when you get down to martial law, you get down to rationing $7 a gallon gas. By the way, I just saw a new number come out on gas yesterday, $7 a gallon. Oh, my God. Boys and girls, our economy is imploding at $4. It's headed to $6. That's what the game plan called for. Now some clown comes out and says, well, you can expect $7 gas. You can expect $5 gas by summer. Now, summer just started, and we're at $4.10 and climbing every night on the news. They tell, well, the price of gas has gone up another nickel. Price of gas has gone up another 2 cents. All right, well, it's going to keep going up to $6 because that's what it calls for. Now I saw yesterday. I think it was Brian Williams on the NBC News. He said, hey, listen to this. We expect $200 oil by the end of the year, $7 gas by the end of summer. Okay, well, you know, as old George Bush said, this can't stand, and, you know, your common sense ought to tell you that this ain't going to go on this way forever. It's going to come to fruition. It's going to come to a climax. It'll come to an end. And the end isn't going to be good. So we need to have some plans in place to tide us over while this is coming down on us. And so while this is coming down on us, keep in mind that next year, 2009, if you think the prices for food are high today, you ain't seen nothing yet. Today's bargain basement prices, buy all you can get. Don't hold back. You think gasoline is bad today, you ain't seen nothing yet. You need to be prepared to start walking. You need to be prepared to start doing something else. People are starting to buy motor scooters, you know, just like they do over in China. You know, they had motor scooters before they had cars. Now they went from motor scooters to cars. They went from walking to bicycles, bicycles to motor scooters, you know, to cars. Okay, well, get ready here in America because, you know, we're going from the big gas guzzlers. We're going down to the efficient cars and then the electric cars. Pretty soon we're going to be down here walking. So get ready for it. And your house is toast. Remember, I told you that. Be thinking about that cash. Whatever cash you got your hands on right now, hang on to it. But don't hang on to it in the form of American U.S. Federal Reserve note dollars. That stuff is evaporating at the rate of 15% per annum. That's 1% a month. You want to get rid of all of your Federal Reserve note dollars, and you want to convert those as rapidly as possible into the real goods that you're going to need over the next 4 years. And then if it's at all possible, get the hell out of the cities. Those cities are just death traps. Most of you are locked up in the city and you ain't leaving. You need open pollinated seed. You need seed, open pollinated seed. Do not buy hybrid seed. You need open pollinated seed. And you need it in downtown Cleveland, wherever you live in the city. You got to have seed because if you're going to eat, you're going to grow it yourself. That's where we're headed. As old Walter Cronkite used to say, well, that's the way it is tonight. And obviously he would sign off. All right, I'm out of time, kids. I got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night, same time, same station. But you are listening to or have been listening to The Law Hour, an editorial review sponsored by the Gordon Law School of Isabella, Missouri. Remember, The Law Hour is heard 7 days a week here in the United States, and we're heard around the world in more than 112 countries daily over the Internet. For more information about The Law School and The Law Hour, please go to our website. Remember, that's georgegordon.org, georgegordon.org. The Law School is a private, non-commercial, non-profit, non-sectarian law school that is open to individuals but by prearrangement. The Law School conducts a homeschooling program for adults and compact desk. The Law Hour website is updated weekly. It has our radio log schedule and archives, and all of that can be accessed through our webpage at georgegordon.org. The Law Hour is an educational service brought to you in the public interest. All right, time's up. We've got to leave it right there. We'll see you back here tomorrow night. Same time, same station. God willing, of course. Until then, thanks for listening, everybody, and good night, friends.